Every single day, we have a choice of how we choose to show up in the day. And really what I call this is your energetic thermostat. It is a choice that you make every day on how I'm choosing to show up, not just for me, but for the world.
I'm Suzanne O'Brien, former hospice and oncology nurse, and now the founder of the International Doula Givers Institute. My life's purpose is to teach others how to care for those at the end of life. So if you are a family member wanting to learn how to care for someone you love at the end of life, or you are someone who wants to be a professional end-of-life practitioner, this is the place for you. So sit back, get a cup of tea, and relax. This is the Ask a Death Doula podcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Ask a Death Doula. Don't forget that the free live Level 1 Doula Givers End-of-Life Doula Family Caregiver Training is happening very soon. The link is below. We will be on there live, giving you a full training and then staying on and answering all of your questions. Don't forget to sign up. Okay, today's podcast is titled How to Talk to Children About Death. And this is critically important to understand because in my opinion, and for what I have seen, and I have been honored and privileged to be in this space for 2 decades working with those at the end of life and have served over 1,000 families at the end of life from all over the world. The dysfunction that I see, the fear of death that I encounter, which by the way, when we're fearful, it blocks us from those final moments. It blocks us from final conversations. It blocks us from this whole experience, even taking proactive or empowered steps to do the caring for our loved one, which is something that we're all going to be called to do. And it's so important. In my opinion, the reason that we have such a dysfunctional relationship with death at this very moment is because generation past was trying to protect children or shield them from death. And what it did was it completely did the opposite. It developed this fear of the unknown, this dysfunctional relationship with death that rears its head every time there is something associated with death or when there is something of a loved one or a family member or a neighbor or something to do with death. It brings out that cellular fear that we ingrained in these children because we were trying to pretend it wasn't happening, trying to shield them, protect them. And I know that we were trying to do the right thing. And when I say we, I just mean as a collective, right? We're always trying to do the best we can, but you know, I think that we all know that we have not gotten this correct. We haven't gotten a lot of things correct, but at least we're waking up to it and we're making change. And that's the most important thing. But these children, I want to share with you a story and why this is so important. First of all, every single one of us is going to encounter death. It's going to be death of animals. It's going to be death of grandparents. I think we can all go back into our school years and there's probably at least one experience where somebody, as we were growing up, died, whether it was a child in a car accident or a teenager or somebody got sick or whatnot. And so death is a part of this journey. And to instill a healthy, natural relationship with it is one of the greatest things we can do for our children. So there are, again, we're going to jump back a generation ago where I'm told that, you know, children were not allowed to go to the funerals. They were not allowed to see somebody who was dying. In fact, families even told them that the person is sleeping or went on vacation and would just, the children know they're so smart. And watching the adults really falling apart and not being grounded in this, whatever experience to them was happening, it's a death experience, this end of life, built this immense amount of fear, trepidation, the unknown, all of the things that we're seeing now. So I want to tell you about a story that a woman told me. I wish I could say this was the only one that was like this, and it's not. So this woman, when she told me this story, she was in her 50s, and she told me she was one girl and she had 5 brothers, And she was the youngest and she was in first grade. And she told me that she was coming home from school one day, eating an ice cream cone. You know, she describes this beautiful day and all seeing all these cars outside of her house. And unbeknownst to her, her mother had breast cancer and had actually died that morning. This little girl, and I understand she was in first grade, did not even know her mother was sick. And now her mother had died. And this is how she found out. So the fear that has traveled with her through her whole lifetime surrounding death was cemented and grounded. It's like plants, roots of plants that were formed, seeds that were formed in this space. Now, these were, again, all of her family. First of all, your mother. I can't even imagine what that must have felt like. Your guardian, your person that you rely on usually the most in your life, especially at that age. And then having all of your other family members who knew about this and did not prepare you or let you have time with your mother, knowing that this was such sacred time. All of our time is sacred time. Take that away from this podcast. All of our time is sacred time with one another, because one day that will be the end of our journey. So let's not waste these moments, but especially when we know somebody's at the end of life, when we don't allow children to be a part of this. And yes, of course it's so hard, but you're depriving them of these precious moments that will be in their heart forever. So this is how she found out. And again, you know, just think about it was a beautiful day, the sunny afternoon, she's eating ice cream, she's in first grade coming home and finding out her mother died. So really developed her fear of death. And we really had layers and layers and layers, obviously, of working through that. But we got there. We got there because we really were able to have a safe space and a conversation about it. And when you know the truth, when you know the truth about what end of life is like, that it is a natural, sacred part of this journey, what it really looks like to have an end of life, what people at the end of life are sharing and saying, the common things that they talk about that open up this completely bigger connection to something so much greater than most of us are aware of. It takes that fear, it diminishes that fear, and it actually turns it into a sense of wonder and connectedness. And then whether we are consciously aware of it or not, it puts us in a place of being grateful for every nuance of every day of with every person that we come in contact with, including our family members. You know, I know when my son was growing up and we were close with his grandparents, they were a very magical part of his life. But of course, you know, he's a child and he doesn't always want it. It's not the first thing that he wants to do at a certain point is go, you know, have lunch or dinner with the grand folks. And I would say to him without judgment, without, you know, trying to put any guilt or anything, but just saying to him that one day this won't be an option. I just want to let you know in a loving way that one day we won't even have the choice as if we can go have lunch or dinner with them. And just that perception and perspective for him changed. Did he want to go? And when he went, how important that experience was and how grateful he was to be able to have that choice. So what it is, this is about talking to children about death and how important that is. And I'm going to give you techniques to do that. And of course, it's going to very much depend on where developmentally they are. And usually that is based, again, with chronological age. Not always. There can be some things that are skewed from that. But I'm going to give you some guidance on that. But I'm going to tell you that this is critically important to be honest and to talk to them, because this is a natural part of our life experience. So what can you do? Be honest, be open, and speak to them age appropriately. So the difference between a 2-year-old's understanding and a 5-year-old understanding is huge. A 5-year-old to a 8-year-old is, again, a huge leap. And then, you know, you go into preteen and teenagers, and there's a lot of things that come with each level of understanding in those ages. So you want to speak to them age appropriately. And let's, for this example, use very, very young ones. When you have a family, maybe you have a grandfather die, or, you know, sometimes there's a parent that dies, or somebody who dies and you have a young children, you want to lean on professionals. If you are, hopefully you have access to them. Like if you have a family member that you have hospice care for, let's just say it's the grandfather of the children, you have hospice care. They have social workers that have wonderful tools, and there's wonderful books that are out here. Again, age appropriately for 3-year-olds, for 5-year-olds, this is what you would say, and allow them to ask questions. Now, what I will say that this is a golden rule and something that is like a doula giver pearl. Be honest. Let them ask questions. Do not shield them from this. There was a doctor, and it's very interesting. I'm going to do a whole podcast on this at one point, how doctors die differently. So there's a whole study on that. But this particular doctor, he got cancer and he had about 6 or 7 youngins running around, his grandchildren. And he says that he gathered them around. He got them all around one day and he got them all in the bed and they were all in his bed. And he said, I want to let you know that I'm dying. And he said, it's not a big deal. He said, you're going to do it. Your parents are going to do it. I'm going to do it. He said, people do it all the time. And if you really think about this, like this is again, something that when I first became a nurse in the hospital and death was, and the first awareness that we were doing death all wrong and it was completely backwards and so feared, I said to myself, what is happening here? What happened? We've been dying for thousands of years. We have been dying for thousands of years. We know how to do this. It's actually because we've completely removed it. The teachings, the sacredness, the understanding, the understanding of how to care for somebody at the end of life. The true learning that is, in my opinion, everything teaches you how to live. We've removed it all. We said, don't talk about it, avoid it. We don't see it. That developed this huge fear. And then of course, we're many times doing things that are causing a lot more harm and dragging out somebody's ability to have their heartbeat and their breath, you know, go on without any quality of life. And that is a very slippery, dangerous slope. So we've been dying for thousands of years. We know how to do this. So he took this approach. He said, and I love that he brought in, and this might have, you know, to you might say, oh my gosh, how could you say that to children? But isn't it really true? We're all going to do this. My hope is that we do it well. My hope is that it's just so much like a birthing plan. You would not have a baby without having a birthing plan. And we all know that those birthing plans are great. Do they sometimes get chucked completely out the window because different things are happening and the plan changes and things you don't anticipate or expect? Yes, but at least we have a blueprint and a plan. And I'll tell you, even just going through the plan gives you a foundational track, gives you a roadmap to where we're going, starts to decrease again some of the uncertainty that's around here. So having a plan for the end of life and even thinking about it starts to already say, oh, this is going to happen. It doesn't just show up and put us in a state of shock like it does today. So he gathered these children around and he said, I want you to know that I'm dying. He said, it's not a big deal. I'm going to do it. Your parents are going to do it. You're going to do it. It's not a big deal. And I love you. And they said that this man allowed these grandchildren to lay in his bed with him in the last days. And they even said that after his body died, after he actually left his body, they said that these little ones stayed in the bed with him for hours loving on him. So pretty amazing. If you hear of anyone who's an adult who says, yes, my grandmother, I remember this one doula was telling the story and she said her grandmother used to drag her to all the funerals with her and she loved it. It was completely natural. So the fact that we've removed it and made it an unnatural, feared experience has developed this dysfunction with children. So being honest with them, age appropriately, They have, again, lots of resources. I'm going to link a few below that have been recommended for children that are really good, but no age appropriate and not make it a big deal. Remember that nature dies, animals die. It's the cycle of life. And doesn't that just kick us into such a heightened perception and perspective about how magical and how appreciative and how grateful this journey and the ability that we have it really is. So I know the first time I started working with those at the end of life, I completely shifted my perception of just about everything. And also I don't sweat the small stuff. Like literally my bar is that if something is not a critical crisis of some kind of, you know, real heightened thing, okay, we can deal with it. I always say not ideal necessarily, but it's not an emergency. And everything is really in a completely different perception and perspective that has enriched my life in ways that you can't get anywhere else but having that kind of awakening and opening. So speaking to children age appropriately, and I want to say the second thing is children know. I want to let you know that these wise little ones, even two, even one, like there is an awareness of energy of what's happening in the environment, but boy, do they know. So I'm going to share with you a story. When I was a hospice nurse and I got called in, there was a boy who was 5 years old who had a brain tumor. Probably the hardest thing ever is to care for a family and to watch the pain and the suffering of, you know, parents seeing their child have their end of life. So this little boy was five and I went in, this is the very first visit. And I went in and I remember going into the home with the social worker. The father was there, the mother was there, and Tommy was there, the little boy who was five. He was paralyzed because his brain tumor was hitting his brain stem. And he was on the couch, very small body frame with his head on a pillow. And we were having the conversation. We were talking about, you know, plans of care, getting to know them. And I just honestly, you know, knew how much that I needed to build the trust with this little boy and his family. And I didn't know at that moment that Tommy had a brother. So when we were having, so my back was to the kitchen door. So we were in the living room. There was a kitchen entrance. It was kind of this big open planned room. And when we were having the meeting at like middle way, they had an au pair with a younger brother who was three named Kevin. And I didn't even know that there was a younger brother at that time. So the au pair comes in with Kevin and, you know, you hear these little feet running through the kitchen, running into the living room. And then I'm sitting in this chair facing across from his mother, who actually was tall with blonde hair as well. And this little boy comes running through as little boys do. And, you know, kind of rounding the chair that I was sitting in and then just climbs up on top of me really quickly and like puts his head on my shoulders and is hugging me. And as he's climbing, this all happened so quickly. As he's climbing up, his father's going, "That's not mommy. That's not mommy. That's not mommy." Right? He was a little embarrassed that this boy was doing this. And it was all happening so fast. Now, his mother was sitting directly across from me. Kevin ran in from behind me. So that means that his mother was right in front of me. He knows I'm not his mother. So he held on to me. Head on my shoulder, you know, with that beautiful grip that those three-year-olds can give you. And as his father is saying, "That's not mommy, that's not mommy," he just lifts up his head, just, you know, so, you know, freely, just lifts up his head, looks in my face, and just climbs down me. You know how three-year-olds do that? And runs off. And here's what I want to say to you, is that children know that there is a knowing, that they are aware, that there is a higher part of all of us that has understanding that our analytical mind does not. And in my heart, and I know this to be true, this little boy knew that I was here to care for his brother and his whole family. And he was so grateful that that was happening. So I want you to understand that there is an understanding with these children and that it is our duty to set them up with the healthiest relationship with this most natural experience that they are going to encounter in many, many ways over and over and over again in their lifetime. The best thing we can possibly do for our children is share with them that death is a natural, sacred experience and not to be afraid. It'll also teach them the nuances and how to squeeze out every morsel of gratitude and appreciation in this life. Okay, now I want to share with you why this is so important. It's so important because it's not going well today. And it's so important because we know, we all know that this is always going to show up, and it's going to show up in different ways. And it's going to show up with, again, our animals when we're younger and all of the things that happen, grandparents that happen. And if we want to make a shift in how we're having end of life today, you know, there's this whole beautiful movement, death doula movement. And I want you to know this, that the death doula movement is not just speaking about non-medical holistic practitioners that are showing up to be the guides, to hold the space for patients and families in that end of life section. That's only one piece to it. And in my opinion, that's not the piece that is going to shift this culture of death. It takes a threefold approach. And the threefold approach is, yes, right now showing up at the end of life, because right now it's a train wreck. It's a crisis. We're just putting band-aids on it. It's not going well. We have one opportunity to have it go well. But more than that, it's rolling it back and it's educating about the natural part of life that death is, the teachings that death teaches us, the ability for it to provide the wisdom about how to actually navigate life with knowing that your presence is the most important thing that you have to give people, true presence from your heart, not being judgmental, being compassionate, holding space for one another. This is the gift that when you choose, and we have a choice every single day, we have a choice of how we choose to show up in the day. And really what I call this is your energetic thermostat. It is a choice that you make every day on how I'm choosing to show up, not just for me, but for the world. Am I going to show up in fear? Am I going to show up in anger? Am I going to show up in all of the things that are unfortunately creating the chaos out there? Or am I going to show up from heart? Am I going to show up from my being part of who I am? Because that's what I was taught from those at the end of life. Am I going to show up with presence and no judgment and know that I don't know the story that that person walking down the street has, and I have no right to judge them? And also they're carrying burdens that you can't see. To be kind, to be compassionate, to lend a smile is how we actually shift the world. And then for you to have the lessons that death teaches us about the most important thing that you will ever choose is how you decide and how you choose who to spend your time with and how you want to spend your time. And I'll tell you this, I threw out the rule book. The minute that I started working with hospice patients, I said, this is how life works. This is how life works. It's following your heart. It's following your knowing. It's not, what do I think I should be doing? It's, what do I feel I should be doing? So I only in my life now, because I know that every day is an opportunity and so precious, I am only going to do work on projects or you know, do any kind of outreach or program or anything. And that includes really spending time with people. I'm only going to do that when it resonates with my purpose and with my heart, and knowing that, you know, this quality of time is an unrefillable commodity. I don't know how much I have. I know that at the end of life, people have said to me over and over and over again, I wish I had not wasted it. I didn't follow my heart. I didn't do the things I know I was meant to do. And now their time was up. So it teaches you everything about the beauty of this journey and also how to get right to it. Don't waste it. Take the risks. They're not risks. The risk is you not taking those opportunities, trying those things, doing what your heart, you know, because fear comes in and usually shuts you down, right? You're not good enough. You can't write a book, or you can't do this, or you can't become that, or you, it goes on and on and on, the ego, what fear does. It keeps you stuck. At the end of life, that's the number one regret of people, is that they didn't use the opportunity to follow what they know they were meant to do, what they know they were meant to become, who they truly authentically were in this lifetime. We always think if we don't live with the awareness that one day death will be a part of the journey, we always think, oh, I have time, I have time, I have time. I'll get to it when. One of the things that absolutely boggles my mind is how people say, when I retire, we're going to tour Europe. When I retire, we're going to do that. Do you know how many people have not gotten to the retirement? I know a couple right now that I can think of. Major, major head of a company, lots and lots of monetary money. Okay. That's not it, by the way. And you have to be very careful about where you think that things are going to lead to happiness, because there is a huge price at times to pay for that. Putting it off. Her spouse was retired early and they had plans. No, I'm just going to do another 5 years and make all this much more money. And then we're going to, you know, tour Europe and do all the things. And what do you think happened? What do you think happened? The spouse died. He got sick and he died. And now the woman is just broken on many, many levels. Do not wait. Do not wait. Look, you can do those things when you're retired, but I will tell you this, that next year is not guaranteed. Book the trip. Do it today. Something that you want to do, I'm going to challenge you right now. Something that you've wanted to do, book it. Put it in your calendar. That's the other thing. If it doesn't go in your calendar that you want to, you know, do something special or start learning Spanish. That's me, by the way. Okay, I'm calling myself out here. That time doesn't magically appear. You know why? Because we get so busy with the nonsense and the busyness of the doing part of being a human being. Are you a human doing or human being, being present, being in that space of love? We're humans doing. And you know what? You can run as fast as you want. My dad always says you can run, but you can't hide. And I'll tell you, people are trying to outrun. They're aging. They don't want to get still and quiet. There's something that is uncomfortable. They just keep going, going, going. And they miss it. And they miss it. So I challenge you today. And in fact, put it down in the comment section. What did you put in your calendar? Did you put the trip to Greece that you wanted to do this summer? Because you know what happened with COVID. You could have had all the money in the world and you couldn't use it. You couldn't go anywhere. Put it down. Commit to you. Did you want to learn Spanish? Are you going to take the salsa classes? Put it in your calendar and commit to it. So I want us to make a pact today. I just started my Spanish lessons. I'm committing to continue to keep going with you all on this, because this is the beauty of life. Put this first. It will open up that being part of you in pathways which are expansive in this human in journey. So you want to know what moves the needle. The moving the needle is not pushing, it's flowing. So remember this, I will often say to you, ask yourself, are you pushing or are you flowing? So you want to flow in, okay, what is being inspiredly creative and guiding me? And how am I taking inspired action in steps in that? Because you're the only one that can do that. Or am I pushing? Am I trying to answer all those emails? Am I trying to do this? And I'm just feeling heavy and stressed. Because the magic in this journey that you are a human being, it's in the being part. So put down something you commit to do for your being part that you're going to commit to now, not wait to do it. Okay. So let's recap about talking to children and death. And this is something that you can be planting these beautiful seeds for them that will not only set them up to have a healthy relationship with this natural 100% guaranteed part of life, but you will be planting those seeds of being an expansion, because they will be in a space of wonder, more about nature and what this is about. And also, again, the fragility of time as our most important commodity. Let your children follow their hearts. Let your children explore and pick what makes them happy. Emphasize the happiness, not the become a doctor, become a lawyer, make a lot of money. That brings you happiness, because it does not. I can tell you this right now, it does not. Many, many people at the end of life who've had so much money and success have said that they were miserable, that they missed it, that they didn't have the experience they wanted to have because they went for the wrong things. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but they're not it. They're going to give you maybe a temporary, yeah, maybe it's great if you buy a new car or have something, but it's not going to be sustainable fulfillment. And that only comes with this connection to something so much greater than us, this being part of us, this thing that resonates in my heart. What is my gift? What is my purpose here? And how do I align with that? I align with that by listening to my heart guidance. I align with that by seeing what's put in front of me when I'm in a place of stillness and quiet and compassion and non-judgment. What comes up for me? And then it's up to me to follow with inspired action. Teach your children that. Tell them to go for the happiness, because it's going to be different for each and every one of us. Emphasize that. Life is short. It's one of the greatest things you could ever do for your children. So this was how to talk to children about death. Be honest. Let them ask questions. Be age appropriate in how you speak to them. And I'm going to put a couple of resources down below. You can also get your help from social workers in hospice. And there's many, many different resources and books online that are really helpful. But being honest with them and letting them know from the earliest natural place that death is a expected natural part of the life cycle, that we all go through it, that it is not a big deal. It's one of the greatest things we can do. And it is the key to shifting end of life culture, which we are all here to do. I want to thank you so much for being part of this podcast. My name is Suzanne O'Brien. This was Ask a Death Doula. Please leave me a comment and a message, and please tell me what you are committing to do, what you put in your schedule, and I'm going to do the same. Thank you, everyone, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for being part of Ask a Death Doula podcast. Please remember that everyone everywhere has the ability to have the good death with the right education, kindness, and support. See you in the next episode.